In 2025, Americans lost more than $21 billion to fraud and identity theft. That's why so many people are turning to Aura. Aura helps protect your identity with fraud alerts, dark web monitoring, and up to $5 million in identity theft protection. And if you become a victim, Aura's 24/7 U.S.-based support team is there to help. Don't wait until your identity is stolen. Start your free trial today at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know what really gets me here, ladies and gentlemen? By the way, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. A lot going on, folks, in the country. And President Trump is giving, well, he's tearing NATO a new one, and we'll get to that. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. So the president doing a great job watching out for us. Wow. What can I say about the U.S. men's soccer team? Has the president authorized an airstrike on Belgium yet? Do we know? We're working that info. A terrible story about Senator Mitch McConnell. Laura Loomer yesterday reporting that McConnell is brain dead and is, well, not expected to come back to the Senate. That's in spite of being brain dead. But I mean, terrible story. And we certainly want to pray for the McConnell family. But may I just say something here? And this is what I think this is what really bothers a lot of folks when it comes to politics in general, because both parties do the same thing. They always play the same games. And the Democrats did it with Dianne Feinstein. And basically, Congress it's a de facto nursing home now. I mean, it really is. It's a terrible situation. And we had a great political pundit years ago, a guy by the name of Riley Neesant, who wrote an essay on why there need to be age limits in Congress. And it's a fair thing and again, I disagree with Neesant. I understood the premise, but now I get it. I mean, my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, this is just insane. But here's the problem. The Republicans are trying to shove all of this under the carpet. They nobody's talking about it. It's like the guy who was diagnosed with clinical depression, the Republican from New Jersey. Keene was his name. And when you're hospitalized for, I don't know, 5-6 months dealing with depression, that is a major issue. You do not belong in the halls of Congress. It's not like you're just suddenly cured. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on right now on Capitol Hill, and the Republicans need to come clean here, but they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it, ladies and gentlemen, because this would upset the balance of power. And that's why the Republicans are hiding all of this, and they're shoving it under the covers is what Loomer is suggesting now, that Mitch McConnell. And by the way, what's the wife up to? She's over in China. What's going on there? A lot of questions about that. But I want to start today. And by the way, we've got a great show lined up for you. Congressman John Rose is going to drop by. Also, Josh Jones is here to talk about Graham Plattner. And there's a new study out. Teachers are apparently not teaching American history. And we've got some data. Gabe Delaney, our favorite history teacher at Franklin Road Christian School, is going to be here in just a little while to help us figure out all of that. But I want to start with the gals on The View. And these gals they're a piece of work. They're a piece of work. I'll tell you that much. So anyway, you had Sunny Hostin is her name. And Sunny Hostin is out there talking about how much she hates the American flag. And the context of this, you have the Southern Poverty Law Center, allegedly, setting up the white nationalists, what do they call them, the Patriot Front guys. and they're the ones that wear the masks and the khaki pants. It's all very odd. And anyway, they were up during the 4th of July. Reuters just happened to have a photographer on a train as the guys were on the metro train, and they were surrounding a black woman who happened to be seated on a seat. And just all coincidental, of course. And so that photo now going viral, and they're saying, oh, this is a form of intimidation. Now, keep in mind, when poor, sweet Irina Zarensky was sitting on a train and was slaughtered, was stamped to death by a black dude, nobody cared. Nobody on The View cared about that. You weren't allowed to care about that. But in this situation where this black woman was just sitting there, and nobody tried to intimidate or anything. It was just a matter of sitting there and all these alleged white supremacists hopped on the train. So anyway, Sunny Hostin talking about all of this. And here's what she had to say. Cut number 14, please.
And with an American flag on that cap, you might as well have a hood on. You might as well have a hood on because that's what it looks like. That's what it feels like.
But you say this is the best nation. The best nation for who?
Yeah, when you say it's the best nation.
When you say it's the best nation, the best nation for who? Because if we are celebrating 250 years, what are we exactly celebrating is what I want to know. And so I'm really glad that picture was taken because that picture is how we feel walking into many rooms down the street. That picture is how we feel and nobody will believe us. So look at that picture and understand how it feels.
Yes. You never should be made to feel like that. Yes. It's wrong that this woman is.
And I said this on this show many, many years ago because this is my 10th year on the show, and I said there are times when I walk into a community and I see American flags all over the community and I suddenly feel unsafe because there is a section of this country that has co-opted the American flag and they equate being an American or an American flag with white supremacy.
All right. So a little bit to unravel here, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, she's comparing those of you wearing the ball caps with the American flag on the ball cap. She's saying that you people may as well be wearing a KKK hood. That's what Sunny Hostin just said on ABC, on Disney. Then she goes on to say that she feels unsafe. So she's walking through a beautiful neighborhood and I don't know what your neighborhood is like, but we've got a lot of patriots that live in my neighborhood, and they all have American flags out. And Sunny Hostin is saying that she feels very unsafe in those kinds of neighborhoods. Very unsafe. I will just say this, living in Memphis, Tennessee, I would rather be walking through a neighborhood that has hundreds of American flags displayed as a bunch of gangbangers in a place like Orange Mound. A lot safer. Or downtown. So anyway, people are going bonkers over this. Senator Tommy Tuberville said this woman is an example of mental illness. And it's a fair point. My question to her is, does Sunny Hostin feel more unsafe around the American flag than she does an alleged Nazi rapist like Graham Plattner? Which one makes her feel more unsafe? Now, we did a little bit of digging on Miss Hostin here for this radio program. It turns out that she graduated from the University of Notre Dame. She has a law degree. She is married to a renowned surgeon. She owns multiple homes, one in New York City, another in Martha's Vineyard. And her TV contract, by some estimates, is worth $2 to $3 million a year. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Ms. Hostin was only able to achieve all of this great success in her life because of that American flag, the one that she finds so uncouth, the one she finds so offensive. It's that American flag that provides her the wonderful American dream that she currently is living. It's the people who shed their blood so that she might be free. That's what that flag represents. But people like Sunny Hostin, multimillionaires, many times over, she turns around and she spits on Old Glory. And folks, I got to tell you something. After coming off of this incredible weekend, and I would say 90% of this great nation celebrating our country, celebrating our freedom, celebrating our exceptionalism, it was a remarkable thing. And then you've got to turn on your TV and you see somebody like Sonny Hostin spitting on the American flag. And I just, there's really no polite way to say this, but if Sonny Hostin is so offended by the American flag, she can pack her bags and get the hell out of my country. That's what she can do. And that goes for all the rest of you. You people spitting on our flag, attacking our president, going after the troops, attacking people who just want to make America great again. If you don't love the country, if you hate us so much, you pack your bags and get the hell out. And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. I'm done with you. I am done with these people. Done with them. There's another story out of Texas. A place called the Hive Bakery. It's located in Flower Mound, Texas. And this story enraged me today. We have the story, by the way, on ToddSterns.com. And we also have the video of Sonny Hostin on ToddSterns.com. And I would urge you to go and go to our website and read these stories for yourself. Now, there's a woman by the name of Haley Popp, and she's one of those angry white woke women. You know, it's like, folks, it's a stereotype, but it's true. She's got the tattoos. She's got the weird hair color. She's got the nose ring. And she's angry. Apparently, she's a popular person on the Food Network. She's been on the Food Network a time or two. So anyway, she's got this bakery called the Hive Bakery in Flower Mound. She announced on social media that they were not going to be closed for the 4th of July because they actually refused to observe the holiday. They don't celebrate Independence Day at that bakery. And then she turns around and she smears all of you people that want to make America great again. She called you people a cult of unintelligent, rabid, immoral sycophants. And here's the thing. This woman has every right to hate her MAGA customer base. Every right. She's got every right to do that. All you MAGA people with a sweet tooth, you go in there for, I don't know, a Boston cream pie. By the way, side note here, did you realize Little Debbie is now selling Boston cream pies? Just don't tell my cardiologist, but they're pretty darn tasty. Anyway, back to the Hive Bakery. So she has this right. I mean, again, if she doesn't want to serve MAGA customers, okay, that's her right as a business owner. But you know what? Her customers also have rights to purchase their cupcakes and their popovers from a bakery that doesn't spit on the red, white, and blue. So I'm done. I am just done with these people. I'm done with them hating America. And I'm done with, look, the Democrats, I've been done with them a long time. But for the past, 6 months now, you've had every major Democrat standing up and vouching for Graham Plattner, an accused Nazi rapist. This man, if these allegations are true, is beyond evil. And you're telling me those are the kinds of people that the Democrats would rather pal around with. Jew haters, Nazi lovers, the Southern Poverty Law Center. You see, every time, and we talk about this a lot on the program, but every time the Democrats accuse the Republicans of being, I don't know, a white supremacist or whatever, the Democrats are the ones guilty of all of that. So I'm just done here. Just absolutely done. Dylan, did you tell me earlier that the bakery chick, angry white chick with the tattoos, they've actually got a podcast?
She does a podcast with her and her brother, and they try to convince their MAGA parents to switch sides, basically.
Does it work?
No, not at all. It's pretty lame to try to see them do that because they have terrible points the whole time. They're very liberal.
So we've got, and this audio is from that podcast. Yes. All right, so let's take a listen.
What did you do for the 4th of July, Haley?
We were open at the bakery because I'm just disgusted at the current state of the country. I did not want a red, white, and blue anything. Like, I'm just depressed about it. You laugh, but like, people love that, and I just refuse. So we've been doing like Christmas in July, gingerbread and all that. So we just did that. And I posted about it. I posted as much, and I got a ton of hate.
I saw your post. I think I reposted it on Necessary Conversation.
Yeah, like one guy wanting to burn our bakery down and like that. And so I just you know, screenshotted all of these clips and put it over our baked goods, and it went viral. So we had a stellar show out for the 4th of July. It was all of my American patriots who are dissenting this 250th. And it was actually really great. It was just good company, everybody feeling the same way that I do. It's always nice to kind of like feel that in a community where every other business is, you know, I love America, I love Trump, because I live in like a real red area, you know, where they literally have there's one guy in town that owns like 7 restaurants. He's like a mega millionaire, and he has rallies and for Greg Abbott and Donald Trump.
Jesus.
I'm not even with you. Like, that's where I'm living. So, you know, to have like the outpouring of what I consider like real Americans, it was nice. So came home, watched horror films, turned up the TV so the dogs didn't get freaked out.
Wow. What a filthy mouth woman this is. Jeez.
It is hard to listen to.
Wow. Yeah. I'd be afraid of... if I'm a MAGA person, I'm going in there and I'm wearing my MAGA hat, I'd be afraid of what they were doing to my food. I'm just telling you, I would, honest to goodness, I would be worried. But what a filthy mouth woman. And you can tell she's angry. She's angry. She's got issues. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the downfall of America is going to be because of these feminazi libtards. So again, as we go to break, if you don't love our nation, get out. Just get out. I'm sure you'll love Iran. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Somebody has to help this country, and if they don't, the country and the world are in big trouble.
One of the most polarizing political figures in American history gets a full-scale defense. The America 250 film series presents Vindicating Trump. Go inside the battles, accusations, media storms, and legal fights that shaped an historic comeback story. It's Vindicating Trump this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here's the thing about Sunny Hostin over at The View. She is literally defending Graham Plattner only because he's a Democrat. She called the guy a cheater, an anti-Semite, a liar, a homophobe, a racist, and then she said, but. And look, this is the Democrats. I mean, what happened to the whole Me Too movement? Where did all of that go? Where did that go? So look, don't be surprised here if Plattner is forced out of the race. Susan Collins, they could put, there's rumblings that Susan Rice, if you remember her from the Obama years, Susan Rice lives in Maine, has residency in Maine, and is being talked about as a possible replacement. I believe Janet Mills only suspended, she's the governor, she only suspended her campaign, so she could jump back into the race. I still think Susan Collins is going to win there. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, we have some new James Talafrico audio. You gotta listen to this. Cut 15.
I celebrated my 30th birthday with a pink scarf around my neck.
Okay. All right. Well, we're not judging here, Dylan. That's unfair. I mean, the man's turning 30 years old. By golly, he wants to wear a pink scarf around his neck. No, I don't know if they went to catch Broadway shows. I don't know that, but he was wearing that pink scarf. You wear it proudly, sir. All right. Got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. ToddStearns.com. Go read our stories about The View over at ToddStearns.com.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Well, lots of very contentious races around the country and a lot of Republican primaries as well. One of the biggest races in the country is actually happening in the state of Tennessee. Senator Marsha Blackburn is running for governor in Tennessee, and she has some competition. Congressman John Rose has thrown his name into the hat, as well as a state representative named Monty Fritz. And it is a knockdown, drag-out primary. And we've got one of the candidates joining us today, our good friend, Congressman John Rose. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm coming to you here from the Houston County Museum, Archives and Museum in Aaron, Tennessee today, as we're out on our Tennessee True Tour. We're getting ready to do a town hall just across the street at City Hall here in Aaron.
You know, Congressman, I don't know if people really can appreciate how large of a state Tennessee is. If you're in Bristol, Tennessee, on the far eastern side of the state, you are closer to the Canadian border than you are Memphis, which is on the far western side of the state of Tennessee.
That's right. It is a long state, and you know, we've been to all 95 counties and getting ready to do our 41st tour stop here in Houston County in Aaron today, and visiting all the counties again, sitting down with Tennesseans and listening to their unfiltered questions and giving unscripted answers.
Now, it's interesting you say that, because there has been a lot of controversy surrounding Senator Blackburn and an encounter she had with a TV reporter in Nashville, where she simply refused to answer his questions, stating that she was there on official government business and therefore could not answer any questions about her campaign. I'm curious to get your reactions to that encounter.
Well, I think it is, simply speaking, not the case that she could not answer those questions. Todd, I think you've been around this the political world long enough to know there are settings where you could not answer a question of a political nature on the Capitol grounds in Washington, in other federal office buildings. That would be true. But United States senators and members of the House of Representatives, we can talk about political things when we're when we're out and about. And so she clearly could have answered those questions if she had desired to.
Why do you think she didn't answer those questions?
Well, I think that's a mystery to us. If you had told me a year ago, I got into this election well ahead of Senator Blackburn, so March 20th of 2025. And if you had told me at this point in the campaign that my main opponent would not be taking questions from the media and would not be doing open town halls and would still be refusing to do a debate, I would have told you I didn't really expect that that's where we would be. But yet here we are. And, you know, we have built significant momentum in our campaign. Our poll results show that we're on a path to victory. And I know that may come as a surprise to some of your listeners, but we're on a trajectory to win this race. And I think you'll see Senator Blackburn change her tune as we get closer and as she becomes, aware of where she stands in this race.
What is your evidence of that, the trajectory? Are you guys doing a lot of polling across the state?
That's right. We have polled this race not regularly, but semi-regularly. And, we went up on the air just after the state local primaries here in Tennessee back in May. And, you know, we've been up for more than a month without any response from Senator Blackburn, raising our name identification. And so what we know is that considerable gap between the name identification that I had and that Senator Blackburn had, having just run for statewide office and getting elected to a 6-year term in the United States Senate, we've closed that substantially now. And as of this past week, we're actually winning among those people who've heard of John Rose. And that number is now above 70%. So that should give you a sense for where this campaign stands today.
Oh, I know you're running the ads. I got a message from one of our listeners on KWAM, and they said, is Congressman Rose the official sponsor of the Todd Stern Show now? All we hear are Congressman Rose ads. So
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah. So we had to get our name identification up. We had to introduce me to the people of Tennessee and our positive message for keeping Tennessee true to Tennessee. That's the message we've been communicating based on what we're hearing from our numerous town halls with Tennessee residents. You know, it's not about what I want. It's about what Tennesseans want. And the only way we can know that is to actually go listen to Tennesseans. And so we've been doing that. I think it now shows in terms of where the candidates are on the issues that face Tennesseans.
Congressman, of course, everyone's after that elusive and much sought after Trump endorsement. The president hasn't done that. And what I thought was interesting, and no disrespect to you at all, sir, but a lot of folks thought that was going to go to Senator Blackburn, and it did not. I'm wondering, what do you make of that?
Well, I just have to take the president at his word. I mean, what the president said to me is that, and confirmed to many of my colleagues in the Tennessee delegation, is that the facts, which is I have been with the president 100% of the time. And so I think the president understands that. I think he appreciates loyalty. By contrast, my main opponent in this race has not been with the president 100% of the time. She's tried to create an impression that that's true through ads and other statements and things that the president has said. But I think the proof is in the pudding, and the pudding is that President Trump has not endorsed and has given me the commitment that he'll stay out of this race and give us an open runway and give Tennessee voters the chance to make the decision about who they believe is best qualified to be the CEO of Tennessee.
You know, and by the way, folks, we have Congressman John Rose joining us. He is running for governor in the state of Tennessee. Congressman, you mentioned early on a debate, and I had asked Monty Fritz, the state representative, if he would be willing, if I were to host a debate, and he said that he agreed and would be willing to do that. Congressman, would you be willing to debate?
Well, we want to make sure that a debate gives Tennesseans a chance to see all the main candidates in the Republican primary. And so, I would say if Senator Blackburn will debate, we'll absolutely show up and have a full-throated debate about the issues that are important to Tennesseans.
But what if she doesn't? Would you debate Representative Fritz?
Well, I don't think that would be productive. I think Tennesseans know who the main candidates in this race is. Certainly our polling substantiates that Representative Fritz, and I don't mean any offense to him, is not going to be one of the contenders for the Republican nomination for governor in Tennessee. He's just not well enough known, and that's unfortunate for him and his supporters. But so I think if there could be a debate that would include the three of us, I would be happy to participate in that. I think it doesn't make good sense to have the listeners get a chance to hear from two candidates. Certainly, if they want to hear from me and want to ask me unfiltered questions, they can come to our town halls that we're holding all across the state. And so there's, we have certainly not made ourselves hard to get in touch with. I just came from Gibson County earlier today, was in Memphis last night, did a tour stop in Lake County yesterday and one in Weakley County, where, voters in the West Tennessee area can come out, and we'll be back in that area soon. And so I think if we're going to have a debate, it needs to really be a debate. I think you don't want a forum. I'm doing that where people can come and ask me questions. But we need to know what would the senior senator from Tennessee actually do if she got to be the chief executive of Tennessee. She doesn't have any experience doing that kind of work. And so I think Tennesseans deserve to see her on the hot seat, as it were, and be able to ask questions and compare the credentials that she has for being governor of Tennessee as compared to me.
One final question, Congressman. Of course, over the weekend, a lot of violence in Memphis. You had a lot of mobs of teenagers running around shooting guns and fireworks at people. One of them killed by National Guard troops when he turned around and had a weapon in his hand. Memphis happens to be the one area of Tennessee where people are running away from. The population in decline. You've got a lot of businesses that are relocating. as governor. How do you fix what's broken in Memphis?
Well, I think it is a major responsibility of the next governor to work to make sure that we restore the grandeur of Memphis. And obviously that begins with getting crime under control. The Memphis State Safe Task Force has made remarkable progress, but as we saw on display this past weekend, there's still more work to do. And the next governor can't rely on the federal government indefinitely maintaining an outsized force in Memphis. So the next governor's got to roll up their sleeves and figure out how we help Memphis get back on track, make sure for Tennessee that Memphis is indeed restored to its grandeur and is, you know, the capital of the Mid-South as it should be. And the only way Tennessee is going to benefit and Memphis is going to prosper is if we solve the crime problems in Memphis. And so the next governor has got to fix that. I have been talking with leading law enforcement officials across the Shelby County and Memphis area and beyond, and, you know, the prosecutors and judges, and reflecting on how we solve that problem. It's going to take some out-of-the-box thinking to get it done, and ultimately I believe it will take an amendment to Tennessee's Constitution to empower the state government to do the proper oversight over a jurisdiction like Shelby County.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We appreciate you coming on the show and answering the tough questions, and we'll see if we can't get a debate between you and the senator.
In the meantime, I'd encourage your listeners to go to johnrose.com, and they can find out more about my platform to be the next governor of Tennessee.
All right. Again, johnrose.com, ladies and gentlemen. Very easy website address, johnrose.com. Congressman, be safe out there.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, we've got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You know, it's interesting. There is a very bizarre story out of New York City we've been following, and we're getting video. We'll have that up on our website here momentarily. There is a large skyscraper that is on the verge of collapsing. Right there in Midtown Manhattan. This is over near Grand Central Terminal. And the building, a number of buildings have been evacuated around, I think, a four-block area. But anyway, they were inspecting the building, and they found that the support columns were buckling and the upper floors were actually sagging. So this is what they're doing, is they were taking this former office building and turning it into an apartment building, this very high-profile apartment building near Grand Central Terminal, which is where you've got all the commuter trains and all of that kind of stuff. This all unfolded earlier this morning and is still ongoing. They were planning on converting this. This was the largest conversion of its kind from office building to apartment building in the city's history, and was supposed to be completed, what, next year? So Mayor Zohran Mamdani says that they have seen the it looks like the building is coming down is what it looks like. So, but here's the problem. Apparently, they didn't have enough steel support beams in place. They were adding 11 floors on top of what was already a 22-story building. This is insane what's going on there. There are reports right now of bricks falling off the building, and we're going to have all this video up on our website here in just a moment or so. But they say that bricks are falling off the building, and there is a lot of concern the entire structure may collapse. So there you go. Just a few moments ago, the fire department says everybody's okay. There's been no injuries. But the buckling beams and bad floor conditions are among the issues identified by inspectors. But they've gotten everybody out of there. And they've also evacuated. They're calling it a frozen zone from 40th to 45th Streets. This is between 1st and 3rd Avenue. If you're trying to get a position there, that's on the East River side of Manhattan, of the island there. So over near, I'll tell you, as close to the United Nations. The building, 37 stories tall, and the structural issues were on the 21st floor, which is apparently where these beams were supposed to be inserted. Did they not put the beams in? That's insane. Crazy. So, anywho's, we'll keep you updated on that story as that unfolds there in New York City. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This segment of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax TV. And Newsmax, very concerned about your Social Security benefits. A study finding 70% of you guys are not getting your full benefits. Well, there are five key strategies that Newsmax wants to share with you that could boost your benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. Social Security expert Michael Allen has all of this in his free special report. All you have to do is give them a call, and Newsmax happy to send that to you. 800-999-9690. Again, that number, 800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply, but you want to give them a call and get that free info. Ladies and gentlemen, very excited about two big projects we're working on. The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, coming out August the 11th. We are gearing up already for interviews and a book promotion. Very excited for you to read my brand new book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And you can pre-order a copy right now at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, wherever you buy your books. But again, we're partnering with Barnes & Noble for our national book tour. And so we would love for you to do some business with those guys online. The Golden Age, you can also get the Kindle version as well. And we're looking forward to, you know, early. We're still waiting for the early book reviews and things of that nature. But I think you're going to really enjoy this inspirational and fun book. And there is a lot of humor in this book as well. So it's called, again, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Now, the other thing I want to encourage you to do, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of times people ask us, I missed an interview, I listened to the show at lunchtime, and I can't always get everything. Well, we've resolved that problem for you. You now have the ability to get my free podcast every single day. It comes out immediately after the show, all 3 hours, and you can listen at your leisure. It is a free subscription. All you have to do is go to toddstearns.com. Click on the I'm doing this right now, as a matter of fact, toddstearns.com. And then at the very top of the page, you'll see podcast. Just click on podcast, and it'll take you to our podcast page, and you can download the podcast through whatever venue you prefer to use, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, or iHeart, also an RSS feed. So if you've got a website and you want to put the podcast on the website, you can certainly do that as well. And again, this is free of charge. We do not charge a single penny for this. We want to make sure that you have access to all of our information, interviews like we just did with Congressman John Rose. And all of that is available for you free of charge at toddstearns.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Wow, this story out of New York City is just simply insane. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. A 38-story high-rise is in danger of collapsing, and we have the videos on our website, todstearns.com. And folks, when you go there, someone, I guess the construction workers, were inside the building, again, at a 38-story high-rise. It was a former office building. They were converting it into apartments, and they were adding 11 stories on top of the building. And there is video on our website, todstearns.com, and you can see the support beams for the walls literally bending. It's unbelievable what's happening there. But now they're afraid this whole thing is going to collapse, and they've evacuated a large swath around Grand Central Terminal where this building, this high-rise, is located. So anyway, we're follow our live coverage over on our website, todstearns.com, and we'll keep you updated there. But a dangerous situation unfolding right now in New York City. Welcome, everybody. This is Hour 2 of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Really honored to have a special guest with us, and we're excited to bring them into the Todd Stearns Radio Show family. Our good friends from movement.com, M-O-V-E, movement.com. Harlan Akala is the Movement Mortgage Reverse Mortgage Director, and he joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Harlan, so good to have you with us. Hope you're doing well.
I sure am. Good to see you, Todd. Glad to be here.
You know, when you hear that term, reverse mortgage, it sort of like makes people a little nervous. And the good news is that there have been so many incredible things that have happened over the past years that make reverse mortgages very, I think, very attractive, especially to folks that are getting on up there in years.
Well, that's so true, Todd. I have one myself. I'm 66, and so I got one as soon as I turned 62, not because I needed it. Like, some people really need it, but it really works for anyone who's planning their retirement, whether they have a lot of money, a little bit of money, or somewhere in between. And it's probably the most misunderstood financial product out there, because there is so much misinformation and so many stories out there that are so dated and go back to all kinds of things in the past. And we're just glad to be able to get the news out, because there's so many people that we can help and make a difference in their lives.
And that's really what this is about. And one of the things we do on this program is that we do a lot of research and background research on folks that come onto the program and become partners with us. And you guys checked all of the boxes. And I think this is an incredible thing. Again, movement.com, movement.com. Harlan, let's first just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background, because you've been involved in the business for a very long time.
Well, yeah, it's been 2 decades now, Todd. So it's kind of crazy how long it's been that I've been involved in this business. And the interesting thing is 20 years ago when I heard about it, I told everybody to stay away from it. It's a ripoff. It hurts the kids and the old people as well. It's just not a good idea. And then I started checking it out, and I realized that I was wrong and I needed to do some more investigation. And since that time, I've helped thousands of people, either through our team or myself personally, sitting at the kitchen table or in the boardrooms at financial advisors' offices, just making a difference in a lot of lives. And I just really appreciate the opportunity to spread the good news rather than what is commonly heard in conventional wisdom.
Movement Mortgage, you have the reverse mortgage division, and I'm wondering how does that fit in with your company slogan? I mean, the slogan of the company, we exist to love and value people. That is, quite frankly, unheard of in the mortgage business.
Yeah, we talk about that almost daily. Something comes up. What kind of decision should we make? Well, we exist to love and value people. So how should we do, what kind of decision should we make? And the interesting thing is people have put millions, they've sent us millions and millions of dollars over the period of the last couple of decades that we've been in business, and went into their home equity. Now that they have that home equity, Todd, they can turn around and use it in their retirement years, just like you can an IRA or Social Security that you put money into while you were working and so on. And so we look at changing the lives, not just of the first-time home buyer or the move-up buyer, but also that person who is my age, who is looking for the best possible retirement and the best possible thing that they can pass on to their children.
So why is it? And for there may be people that just haven't really focused much on the reverse mortgage story. Why is it that so many people do not like reverse mortgages?
Well, when they first came out, it was a Wild West, and they were dangerous, and they were used to trick seniors into losing their houses, essentially. And that was obviously how it was branded until Ronald Reagan came along in 1988 and said, just a minute, this makes sense. We just got to handle this correctly. And so that was when the Housing Act of 1988 started, and the rules changed. And now it is federally guaranteed and federally regulated. But there's a lot of people that were hurt before. There's still people that are hurt now with rogue programs that are not guaranteed by the Federal Housing Administration. And those stories, you know, bad news goes faster than good news. You know that. And so there's been a lot of bad news proliferated out there. And it's like anything else. There's bad plumbers. There's bad real estate agents. There's bad investment companies. I bet you might even know some bad radio show hosts. So there's ways that it can be misused like any other product. That's in my book, Drugs, Sex, and Reverse Mortgages. And that seems to be turned too often because drugs can kill you or they can save your lives. And sex, of course, can be good or evil. And so can reverse mortgages. So can just about anything.
Yeah, sorry. That is the coolest book title I think I've ever heard.
Well, it's actually a chapter, not in my whole book.
But still, it's a great book chapter. And tell us again about the book you wrote, because, again, I think this is something that people are going to want to do a lot of research on.
Yes, I wrote the book because there are so much misinformation, so I wanted to put the proper information out there. And so what I did specifically is put together all of those things where the people ask the most questions, and every client that we work with, we give them a copy of the book, even if they're not necessarily going to do business with us, just to do some research. And I'd offer that same thing, of course, to the callers that would call in from your show, just to be able to help them understand, because there's so many people that walk away from something good because they just don't understand it.
We are talking today with Harlan Acala, who is with Movement Mortgage, an incredible program. You also have a chapter in your book about three buckets of wealth. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's probably the simplest way to explain how reverse mortgages work. Everybody has three buckets of wealth who owns a house. Bucket one is their ability to make money and earn a living, make money from their business, whatever. Bucket two is money that they put away for the future, investments, 401ks, IRAs, life insurance, annuities, whatever. And then bucket three is money that they put in their house. When you think about it, people put in hundreds of thousands of dollars into bucket three. And then what do you do with it at the end? So what we do is show how those three buckets can be used for the benefit of the client and the benefit of their heirs, of properly pulling money out of Social Security, out of their IRAs and other investments, and their house in the most tax efficient way possible to preserve the most for their retirement while still not hurting the long-term strategy for inheritances for the next generation.
So we have a lot of listeners out there, and we have a pretty vast audience. I mean, we have a lot of young people that are listening to the show, but we also have a lot of folks that are getting close to maybe those retirement years. Who is the typical Todd Stern Show listener that ought to be paying attention to learning about reverse mortgages?
Well, anybody over 62 that is eligible should certainly start looking into it right away, because they may have missed some of the opportunities. Those that are younger should talk to us about how does this fit into my plan when I do turn 62, when I am retired. And children should be talking about it with their parents, because many children don't want their parents' house and they want their parents to have the best retirement. And yet many parents sometimes eat beans and rice, so to speak, so that they can give more to their kids when that's not what their children are wanting. And so really, just about everybody should be looking at it, but especially those who are over 62, not to decide to do it, but just to ask questions and find out, could this fit? Does this maybe make sense for me?
This makes perfect sense. Harlan, where can people go if they want to get more information? If they could call, is there a website they should go to?
they should certainly start by going to movement.com/Starnes. And we'll give them special treatment and make sure that they get a free book because they came through you on the radio show as a special partner. Some people don't want to go on the web at all, and they just want to call somebody. Well, it's 580-REVERSE, really easy to remember, 580-REVERSE. So either way, either movement.com/Starnes or 580-REVERSE, we'd be just enjoy a conversation. It's not something that is salesy to sell them something.
Right. So this is really more conversational, informational, and you're going to provide, you know, our listeners with information for them. So there's no hard sell here. This is really more informational and then go from there.
It is. Sometimes people call up and say, I don't know if I want one of these yet. And I said, well, we don't know if you should get one. So don't feel yeah. like that's what the purpose of the call is. It's like, let's find out. You don't plan your retirement in a phone call, whether it's with an IRA or whether it's with your Social Security planning or your Medicare planning. It's just part of the whole equation, and it shouldn't be ignored. It's too big of an asset.
I just love this. And again, Harlan, the name of your book, in case folks want to get a copy of that.
That's Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, the Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement. And you can get it on Amazon for about $20 or from us for free. So weigh that out.
So we like free here on this program. So, and if they call in or if they go to the website /Starnes, there'll be information on how they can get the book as well.
Exactly correct. We'll get in touch with them and let them know, get their address and all that sort of thing, and let them know how that fits into their planning.
I just love this. Well, Harlan, look, we're going to get you back on, and welcome to the show, and we're just excited for this opportunity for our listeners. I know this is probably, you know, finances always weighing on people's minds, but what a great thing you guys are doing, and we really appreciate the great work that you guys do.
Well, we're in the business of changing lives, and just like you are with the information of getting out there, and especially from a conservative Christian standpoint, this is something that is so much overlooked, and we just appreciate the opportunity and honored to be on your show.
All right, folks. Again, the website, movement.com/Starnes. That's movement.com/Starnes. If you're going to want to get a free copy of Harlan's great book, Home Equity and Reverse Mortgages, The Cinderella of the Baby Boomer Retirement, you can also call them at 580-REVERSE. That's 580-REVERSE. Be sure to mention my name when you call. All right, Harlan, thank you again, folks. We've got to take a quick break. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, just wanted to circle back around with our last guest. Harlan Akala is the reverse mortgage director at Movement Mortgage. And these folks are believers, they're Christian folk, and they are very, very good at what they do, many, many years in the mortgage business. And they want to send you some information. So again, this is all free of charge. They're not going to be trying to sell you anything at all. They just want to make sure that you're getting all of the information you need. And again, that website address is movement.com/Starnes. Again, movement.com/Starnes, and you'll be able to get the free book, Harlan's free book, which I'm pretty excited about, and you'll be able to get all that information. I know I just had all this information. I'm completely losing my mind here, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. If you want to give them a call instead, super easy, 580-REVERSE. That's 580-REVERSE, and be sure to mention my name, Todd Stearns, and you'll get that free book that Harlan mentioned just a moment ago. Again, no hard pressure sell. I want you to get the information, read up on it, and then you can make an informed decision, which is what we do with all of our sponsors here on the Todd Stearns Show. So one more time, movement.com/Stearns, the number 580-REVERSE. Well, we've been following this crazy story out of New York City, this high rise. We've got the video up at toddstearns.com. This is insane, just absolutely insane. But a building under construction is unstable and could actually collapse. They're trying to bring in beams to stabilize the 38-story high-rise. It's just a few blocks east of Grand Central Terminal, which is one of the major commuter hubs there in New York City. Unbelievable. I know the cable channels are all over it, but they've got a frozen zone set up between 40th to 45th streets between 1st and 3rd Avenues. You're talking about thousands of people that are being evacuated as a result of all of that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is J.D. Vance talking to Kristen Welkner on NBC about these redistricting plans. And we were just talking about that a few days ago. And I love how the vice president handled this question. Cut 16, please.
President Trump's agenda is so popular. Why do Republicans need to add additional seats to the map?
Well, first of all, Kristen, you have to ask yourself, why have Democrats gerrymandered their states aggressively over the past 10 to 20 years? If you look, for example, at the popular vote in a lot of these states, and Massachusetts, where 32% of the residents of Massachusetts voted for Republicans, zero Republican federal representatives. So we're not trying to sort of, all we're doing, frankly, is trying to make the situation a little bit more fair on a national scale.
Yeah, that, as a matter of fact, if it was fair, then we wouldn't be having these conversations right now. But it hasn't been fair for a very long time, and the mainstream media has turned a blind eye to all of this. I mean, the fact is that 40% of New England voted for Donald J. Trump, and there are zero Republicans in Congress representing New England. Just to give you an idea of how gerrymandering really goes. So it doesn't become a problem until the Republicans bring it up, and then all of a sudden it becomes a problem. Now, keep in mind, when it comes to the states like in the southern states, you're dealing with a Supreme Court decision there. But look at California right now, where if everything works out the way the Democrats hope, there will only be 5 Republicans representing the entire state of California. And it's all because of the gerrymandering from the Democrats. All right, we've got to take a break here. Coming up, Josh Jones is on deck. We're going to be talking about what's happening in the state of Maine with Graham Plattner. Man, what a disgusting story that is. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And again, we're following the developments out of New York City with this crazy high-rise. Go to our website, toddstarnes.com. We have videos there, all sorts of information for you. Again, toddstarnes.com. Well, turning to the world of politics, this story out of the state of Maine is just awful, and it's been awful, and now it's turning into something it's evil, just evil. Politico has the exclusive story here. Jessica Piper and Adam Wrenn are the two journalists. A woman who dated Maine U.S. Senate candidate Graham Plattner says he forced her to have sex with him nearly 5 years ago, despite her repeated objections. Now, Plattner has denied these allegations. The woman, 41 years old, detailed the incident to Politico in 3 interviews over the past 2 weeks. Politico also spoke with a man that Jenny Ratio dated and confided in the years after the alleged incident, and reviewed documents including emails between her and her therapist and messages between her and an acquaintance whom she warned against getting involved with Plattner years before he ran for office. The woman said she had an on and off relationship with Plattner, who is now the Democratic Senate nominee, for more than 2 years before he entered her rural Maine home uninvited one night in 2021, deeply intoxicated, and forced himself on her while she repeatedly told him to stop. She said she cut off contact with him after telling him the encounter was not consensual. And it goes on from there. Now, it's my question would be for the accuser here, why didn't you call the cops? Why didn't you do so? If somebody barges into your home unwelcome, why would you not call the police? So a lot of weird questions there, odd questions. Regardless, there's a lot of smoke, and where there's a lot of smoke, sometimes there's a mighty big fire. I want to go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, say hello to our good friend and our chief political strategist, Josh Jones. Josh, good to have you with us today.
Good to be with you, Todd.
All right. So what do you make of what's going on up in Maine right now?
Well, to put it mildly, it's a mess, particularly for the Democrats, obviously. Look, they nominated this socialist far-left candidate that, Republicans had been saying for a while was, one, unqualified for office, but two, deeply just poor character and poor judgment and, frankly, a criminal potentially, depending on how these allegations turn out. good news for Republicans is, look, it's not our guy.
Well, that's true. At least, on the Republican side, when allegations like this are raised, I don't think we've had any this bad, but there have been some, for example, Matt Gaetz, and the party said, okay, we're done with you.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, we Republicans, I like the thing, honestly, a little bit less, credible coming from someone who works in Republican politics. But I like to think Republicans do a pretty good job of keeping our people accountable, and we'll see if the Democrats do the same.
So this is, and we're just going to play some audio here. These are very prominent Democrats. And by the way, this guy has been accused of mistreating women for like months now. And the Democrats are standing by this guy. This is Ro Khanna, cut number 17, please.
My view is that even according to the New York Times piece, they said there was no harm, no injury. There was toxicity, and there was verbal intimidation, which I condemn. Mm-hmm. But Graham has made it clear that there was no evidence of violence. That, to me, is a red line.
Okay. Here's Elizabeth Warren, Josh, talking about Graham Plattner.
I am here because Washington needs fighters, and Graham Plattner is the fighter we need. You bet. I said to myself, that's my kind of man.
Okay, stop there. Oh, Josh. Oh, by the way, here's Bernie Sanders, cut 19.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that Graham Plattner is the next senator from the state of Maine.
Josh, they own this guy. I mean, this is a Democrat.
They own this. They propped him up to become the Democratic nominee. And even before this allegation dropped in scandal, where some of them might waver on their endorsements, there was plenty of other stuff leading up to this that would have warranted distancing yourself from this guy and not wanting to be associated with him. But they were doubling down because the socialists, frankly, don't care so long as they get power. And they thought this could be a power grab for their radical leftist agenda, and that's why they were backing this guy. But clearly a deeply, deeply flawed individual.
So here's the problem they've got in Maine now. He hasn't withdrawn. He hasn't pulled out of the race. And he's got until next Monday to do that. That's the state deadline to finalize the November ballot. And then Maine's Secretary of State could declare a vacancy and allow Democrats to choose a replacement. I mean, who do you go for there? I know the Washington Post has put out a list of several folks, chief among them, the current governor, Janet Mills, who had backed out, who had dropped out of the race, but she could, I guess, jump back in.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Janet Mills was the Democrat establishment choice for Chuck Schumer and the Senate Democrats. I thought that was a safe bet. It turns out it was safer than Graham Plattner. So we'll see. I mean, Democrats have burnt a lot of political capital propping up this guy just for him to have a turnaround and drop out. I mean, that's a lot of money wasted on their part and resources. So this is good news for Republicans because, I mean, we were already on a good course here to keep the Senate in Republican control, but this just bolsters that effort, made a super competitive state. Susan Collins is a solid candidate, so Republicans should be happy right now.
Yeah, I mean, what got me was the I'm surprised she's not polling at like 80 or 90%, but there are apparently a good number of Democrats who've got no problem with you know, a Nazi rapist, allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, those are the type of voters where, look, if you're still a Democratic voter in Maine, and you think you're sensible and you're voting for Graham Platner or still backing this guy, then guess what? You're not a sensible voter. You're not a middle-of-the-road voter.
You know, Josh, and we're talking to Josh Jones, our chief political strategist. You know, Josh, when you look at what's happening around the country with these Democrats, I mean, they are becoming beyond radicalized here. I mean, you know, Trump talks about them being communist. I mean, yeah, they are communist.
I mean, the president's right. I mean, he even addressed it in his July 4th speech multiple times. If you look at New York, where the swath of the establishment Democrat candidate got taken out by these socialists, New Jersey, same thing in Maine, whenever Janet Mills lost. Democratic Party is becoming a socialist party. They might not be fully there yet, but they're well on their way. So if you're a Democratic voter and, you know, you're a capitalist, to say the least, or a moderate voter, you need to take a long, hard look at your party because it is changing fundamentally, and this is just reflective of that.
Have you've been following the James Tallarico race? We have some new audio. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on this. This is James Tallarico talking about how he celebrated his 30th birthday. Cut 15.
I celebrated my 30th birthday with a pink scarf around my neck.
Josh, does that go over well with the men of Texas? That's what I'm curious. I know you got a lot of candidates you're repping down there.
Yeah, no, this guy is totally a fraud. I mean, I do a lot of work in Texas, so it's not just me speaking from, you know, the back row here. I in Texas politics quite a bit. This guy's a total fraud. People are starting to realize that. Republicans were saying it already, but after the primaries on both sides ended, when we, you know, we have Ken Paxton as our nominee, we could turn our attention to James Tallarico. I mean, this guy's a total fraud. He's not a Texan beyond being from Texas, I suppose, but he does not relate to the people of Texas whatsoever.
He met his girlfriend at a gay bar. Look, dude, just stop. Either get real with.
Apparently, he's a vegan. He doesn't eat meat. He hates his own religion. Like, this dude is crazy, and he complains about being white. And he's just totally off the rails.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
What I have to say though.
But hey, look, and we don't judge here. I mean, if you want a pink scarf for your 30th birthday, God bless America. That's, you know, it's you're right. I'm not sure that flies down in Laredo.
Precisely.
All right. Josh Jones, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Josh, always good catching up.
I appreciate it.
Okay. I forgot. Yeah, he's got a problem with his whiteness. James, we call him James Tallarico here. But yeah, he's doing the, and again, it's America. And if you, I don't know what this guy's afraid of. You know, he came out there running he ran a meat-free campaign. And then, of course, everybody calls him out on it. So the next thing you know, the guy's just chowing down on brisket. Lord knows how many cows they had to kill for that guy, just so he could prove that he eats meat. And then he's going around talking about how he's, he's a really butch straight guy who met his girlfriend, who nobody knew about, but he met his girlfriend and he said, oh, yeah, I met her at the gay bar. And you're like, wait, I'm sorry, what? So, I don't know, is he trying too hard? I mean, why not just come out and say, and I'm just saying theoretically here, but if, you know, the guy is a gay vegan who loves pink scarves, just come out and say that and let the voters decide. And who knows? I mean, you know, Austin's weird. I mean, they may go for all of that. I mean, that is their slogan, Austin, we're weird or something. But again, I don't understand why this. He just doesn't appear to be comfortable in his own skin. That's it. I don't think he's being authentic to voters, and the voters are going to see through that. And in Texas, they just want somebody who is going to be authentic. And probably, you know, not wear a pink scarf. We'll be right back. All right, let's get right to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Say hello to Nate in Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Thanks again for having me on here. I just wanted to ask you actually a question about socialism and then tell you, I think, something I know about it. Your guest earlier said that the Democrats have essentially become the Communist Party. I'm going to disagree with that and say that they are just the Socialist Party, because I think they have no intention of becoming communist, because under communism, there's supposed to be no government. And they don't want that. They want total control. And that's socialism, not communism.
Well, you would also be disagreeing with the president of the United States. Here is President Trump over the weekend. Cut number three, please.
Of the American system and the communist system has never worked. Our warriors did not fight communism on battlefields across the world only to have that menace rear its ugly head right back here in America. We're not going to let it happen. We like to stop a threat like that immediately and before it begins. It's like a cancer. You got to cut it out. You got to cut it out fast.
All right. So that's what the president had to say. So where did the president get it wrong?
I agree with what he's saying in terms of that we can't let communism be in this country like that. However, what I disagree with is the fact that under communism, there's supposed to be no government because everybody's supposed to be equal and everybody fades away. There's never been a truly communist country because of that. Socialism always comes before communism.
Well, actually, both of them, democratic socialism and communism, are both offspring of socialist theory, and one of them is a lot worse than the other. But the other one, democratic socialism, will lead ultimately to full blown communism. We're talking about abolishing private property. You're getting rid of the markets, and everything is centralized within the government, as we saw in the old Soviet Union. But democratic socialism, they say that it's really about reforming capitalism, but that's ultimately not what it's about. I mean, when you look at what these people want to do, they want to bring about communism. They may be calling it democratic socialism, but at the end of the day, Nate, it's going to lead to full-blown communism.
I agree with you 100%, and I think, honestly, the more we educate people about it, and like I said, I wasn't trying to attack the president. I've done a lot of research on this as well, and I'm as anti-socialist slash communist as you can get. I'm a constitutional conservative. I just think it's disgusting that all these people think it just means you'll get everything for free, but you don't realize that somebody is paying for it. Nothing is ever free.
No, it's not. And the president, the point the president's making here, he's really cutting through the red tape and telling everybody, hey, look, this is really about communism, and that's where all of this is heading. So if we don't get a handle on this very quickly, it's going to spiral out of control. And I think that was the concern that the president was making over the weekend.
Yes, sir, I agree. And I apologize if I came on aggressively, sounding like I was criticizing Trump, because that honestly wasn't my intention.
No, don't apologize. No, this is, look, we love people with differing opinions and perspectives. And the fact of the matter is there is a difference between democratic socialism and communism, but not much. And if you are embracing democratic socialism, you are right on the path, and it is a slippery slope to communism.
I find a lot of people just don't understand the definition because, I mean, unpopular opinion I often find a lot of people talking about is that Hitler was a socialist and they try to call him a fascist. And then when you ask him, why do you call him a fascist? They'll give you all these definitions, but then you can stun them with saying, why is socialist in the National Party name? They don't want to accept that fact because it doesn't fit the narrative.
No, it does not fit the narrative. And Nate, I do appreciate you calling in and weighing in on this. And that's going to lead into our next conversation in the next hour, where we're going to be talking to Gabriel Delaney, who is a history teacher at Franklin Road Christian School. And there are folks that are now calling out public school teachers simply for not teaching American history. I mean, it's pretty awful. I want you to listen to Cut 24. This is a guy by the name of Pete Seat on CNN.
There was a Cato Morning Consult poll that came out in advance of the 250th birthday of America. And 46% of Americans, 61% of Gen Z, didn't know what we were celebrating. They didn't know what the 250th was. They didn't realize that it was the anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And that's shame on all of us. That's shame on our society. That's shame on our schools. That's shame on our museums, that people didn't know the importance of that day. And it relates to this, because if you read the key findings of this report, it's pretty damning. They claim that there is no major exhibit dedicated to our founding era, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, the Continental Congress, not to be found at the Museum of American History in Washington, D.C. They noted in this report that Independence Day was not marked either in 2025 or in 2026 at the museum, even though it was open. That's just a couple of examples. So if the National Museum of American History isn't marking this occasion, isn't hosting an exhibit about our founders and our founding document and the Declaration of Independence, how do we expect Americans to know the history?
It's a great question the guy was asking there, and we're going to get into that in the next hour of the program. This is crazy. 61% of Gen Z Americans don't know what we're commemorating, with America 250. Why do you think that is, ladies and gentlemen? Who is to blame for that? 901-260-5926. We're going to be getting into it in the next hour. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I am not terribly surprised by this morning consult and Cato Institute survey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. Look, the reality here is that American schools, at least the public schools, are simply failing our kids. But not only failing our kids, but I think also failing our nation. And that's the troubling part. As if there is an attempt to dumb down the nation. And the reason why, I think, is pretty nefarious, especially when you look at the rise of socialism and democratic socialism across the Democrat Party. Anyway, this fascinating poll out of the Cato Institute, a morning consult, found that about two-thirds of Gen Z, while they could correctly identify George Washington, 34% could not. And a shocking number, 61% of Gen Zers had no idea what we just celebrated over the weekend. Well, I want to talk about this, and I couldn't think of a better person than our good friend. He is a great history teacher at Franklin Road Christian School in Tennessee, Gabriel Delaney. Gabriel, good to have you with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. So what's going on here? Why is it that kids don't know what we were celebrating over the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think that poll is really indicative of where our society is in general. There isn't an emphasis on American culture, American heritage, the things that make America great, the things that have made America great. And it's honestly sad to see how far our society has come from where we used to be and where we used to pride ourselves on being as well.
I'm wondering why is it that, and I know the Christian school world is a lot different, and I want to get to that in just a moment, but why do you think the teachers are not teaching things like civics and American history, and why do you think there's this disconnect?
Well, teachers teach what they are taught to teach, how they are trained, how they are told, the curriculum that they're given by their public school or by their county, that's what they're going to teach. There's a quote that's often attributed to Karl Marx, even though there's not much evidence it came from him, but it says, take away a nation's heritage and they are more easily persuaded. And I think this is probably, like you said, a nefarious reason behind why there is such a disassociation between the American today and their heritage and their culture. Because if you take away the heritage, you take away the culture, you take away the past, then they're going to be far more easily persuaded to places like socialism and other ideologies just like that.
I have to imagine that if people don't know what their rights are, that it's not too difficult to take those rights away from people.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's one of the beauties of the Bill of Rights being listed there. Even though a lot of the founders were against that originally, listing out our rights, the fact that we have this Bill of Rights that tells us that we have these rights not given to us by a government, I think that's an important note that the founders would want us to talk about today, is that these rights don't come from government. These rights actually come from God himself. God is the creator and God is the giver of these unalienable rights that no government or man can give or take away, but that we all inherently have.
So you teach in a Christian school environment, and I'm curious what you guys teach that might be different than, you know, what's happening in a public school setting.
Yeah, I teach everything that I just listed. We have a week or two in U.S. history where we talk about the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress, the Constitutional Convention, but also we have an entire class just on government. We start with the history of government. We talk about how it's developed and changed and why the Constitution is one of the most amazing documents in the history of the world. And we talk about all of these things, but we make sure to have a biblical emphasis because that's the exact viewpoint the founders were drafting and writing these documents from as well.
Is there like a trajectory? Are there things as a teacher that you expect the students to know by the time they get to a certain grade in the school?
There is, for sure. By the time they come to my class, they're typically in 9th, 10th, or 11th grade. And I would begin my class, I begin the school year off every year with just a basic history poll, just to kind of see where my class is at. And it's honestly surprising to me. One of my favorite activities to do is a timeline. I'll put pictures up from American history, and they have to try to rank them on a timeline so I can see where their head's at about some of these great historic. I don't do niche historical events either. These are great historical events in our past. And it's surprising to me how many students struggle with even placing the Declaration of Independence versus where would Abraham Lincoln be on this, even though there's, you know, a 100-year gap almost between those two. It's surprising to me. So when I teach through history, I really have to get down to the basics and make sure I'm coming from a place of knowledge and that I'm not just teaching some obscure fact that they don't have any understanding of.
This may be an unfair question to ask, but I'm wondering if you can tell, say a kid's, you know, grades, you know, K through whatever, they've been in Christian school, compared to maybe somebody who's coming into a Christian school environment in the 7th or 8th grade, can you actually tell as a teacher, oh yeah, they're coming from the public school?
Definitely. There is, unfortunately, I wish this wasn't the case, but unfortunately there is a huge difference. Having grown up in a school that teaches about men like George Washington, teaches about our biblical founding, our Christian heritage, those students have a much stronger grasp of history and its concepts than those that are coming from the public school here in Rutherford County. And it's not just history as well. Surprisingly, it's most subjects, which is very unfortunate and a sad sign for our public education system.
I don't know if you were following the story, but a couple of weeks ago, the Texas State Board of Education actually decided to reintroduce the Bible into the classroom K through 12. And kids, you know, every age group is going to be learning something different about the Bible or a Bible story. And the whole point of it is, you know, Bible literacy. But I really just don't see how you can teach American history and the founding of our nation without having a pretty good grasp on the Bible, which, quite frankly, was the one book that really did frame a lot of our way of life here in this country.
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly right. You can't talk about American history without talking about the Quakers and the Baptists and the Protestants that came over, the Puritans, definitely. All of these major, they came over for religious freedom, political freedom, intellectual freedom. You literally cannot talk about American history without talking about the influence of religion, but specifically the religion of Christianity and God's word.
All right. Gabriel Delaney, a history teacher at Franklin Road Christian School in Tennessee. Gabriel, I'm real curious on the to put on your political hat for just a minute. What's your take on all of these young Gen Zers in politics running on the Democrat side and their raging Democratic socialist? What do you make of that?
I think it's probably quite a bit of misinformation, and I'm hoping that we see the opposite take place as well, where some young Gen Z people who are passionate but also conservative are willing to stand up as well. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see these next few years play out.
Governor Delaney, that's got a good ring to it.
Yep. Yes, sir. We'll see.
All right. Gabriel, always good checking in with you. It's great guidance, and I'm excited to see the kids that are coming out of Franklin Road Christian School. It sounds like they're getting a great education out there.
Yes, sir. Yep. I'm excited to see them too. God's going to use them in unbelievable ways.
All right. Gabriel Delaney, ladies and gentlemen, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right. We got to take a break. You heard Gabriel's take on all of this. I want to hear yours. How do we fix this? How do we teach our kids and make sure our kids know about the founding of our nation and the basics of American history? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Sorry. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, we've been having a computer. One of the computers went down in the studio when we were trying to fix it. So enough of that, though. Let's go to the phones. And Tulsa, Oklahoma, Helen is hanging out with us today. Hi, Helen. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Helen, I am well. Thank you for asking. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I think it's the parents' fault that the kids are not learning what the 4th of July is or Independence Day or any of the American history. They're getting too complacent, assuming that the school is responsible for teaching their children everything that they need to know, and they're not checking up to see what they're learning. And second of all, why aren't they celebrating with their children?
Helen, I was wondering the same thing. How do you... Didn't it ever cross anybody's mind? Wait a second. What are we celebrating? What's all the red, white, and blue for?
Exactly. Why is everybody wearing American flags and fireworks and grilling out? I don't know. That's my thought.
Helen, it's a lot of common sense. A lot of common sense.
Well, thank you. It just seems like we're missing that, apparently.
No, right, exactly. But I love this guy, Gabriel Delaney. His dad is the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Long Beach, California. And, man, they're bursting at the seams down there. Gabriel is just a great history teacher, and I'm just so excited for those kids because those kids, you better believe they're learning something.
It sounded like it. I heard him. He sounds great.
Yeah, great.
We need about 5 million more of him.
Boy, we sure do, right? Amen to that. All right, how are you listening to us out in Tulsa, Helen?
On the radio, riding down the road.
Is that right? All right. Well, we sure do appreciate you listening to us, and we appreciate all of you folks listening to us on the radio, especially. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Matthew in Georgia. Hi, Matthew. What's on your mind?
I was going to say the same thing she said. If the schools ain't teaching it, the parents should be teaching their kids what they're celebrating.
Matthew, I don't know. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my mom made sure that I knew how to read before I stepped foot in a school building. And I think we're missing that in a lot of homes today. For whatever reason, maybe both parents are working, both parents don't have, you know, the time, but, you know, you're going to have to make the time. I think moms and dads need to take on personal responsibility for teaching their kids about America.
They sure do. My grandma paid us $5 if we could read a book and answer all the questions that she had for us.
Yeah, my mom, you know, it was interesting. She subscribed us. I'll never forget this. I was just a little tiny fella, but she subscribed us to the Book of the Month Club with Walt Disney back when Disney was actually good. And I'll never forget, you know, waiting at the mailbox for the book and, you know, learning how to read. And it got to a point where I was able to read the book instead of my mom. And, you know, that was a big day as a little tiny fella. And again, it was, you know, my mom, she didn't go to college, but she understood the importance of an education and making sure that once you get a kid able to read, they're going to be able to do whatever they want to in life.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Matthew. All right, you're most welcome. Thank you for listening to us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Parker, if we get additional calls, text me because our call screening monitor has gone kaput. Let's go to Sean in North Carolina. Hi, Sean. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I just want to do a shout-out to my friend Maggie, but Todd, I don't know what's going on with the conservative end of our party, but we have to defeat Roy Cooper. Roy Cooper cannot get in power. I've dealt with 8 years of his nonsense. He ran on a bathroom bill. The guy's a complete failure. If you hear his commercials, it would make you sick because he's saying, I'm a defender of justice. I put hardened criminals to jail. Well, what happened to the girl on the train in Charlotte? What happened to her? Where are you? 10 days after Helene, where was he? He was nowhere to be found. I found out that there was $2.5 million allocated to Western North Carolina that they never saw a dollar of it.
Mm.
Todd, I'm sorry, because I always talk to Josh, your buddy. I'm blown away that people, why are people so dumb?
Well, you know, they're dumb sometimes intentionally. You know, there are a lot of people that will vote Democrat, you know, their entire life, and their towns are, you know, little, you know, war zones. Businesses are packing up and leaving, and people are just stupid like that. I wish I had some sort of a philosophical, you know, answer for you, but people are just stupid. And, you know,
Todd,
yeah.
I grew up in Staten Island. I grew up as a Democrat, okay? And the crazy thing is that when I met my wife, Heather, which I love her to death, she turned it around. And she was like, you can't believe in that nonsense. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she opened my eyes to everything. Now we have 5 beautiful children. And we have grandchildren, and I never thought I would be here. And by God's grace, but this is the thing that I just want to throw out there to your listeners. We need to save North Carolina from the throes of the Democrats because they lie. Roy Cooper is a liar. He's lied and manipulated. He's destroyed businesses. He destroyed my business. And we need to hold these people accountable.
Well, Sean, and maybe that's a, you know, and we're coming up on a break, so I'm going to have to let you go. But, I mean, look, you're right. And I think North Carolina is worth saving, and so is the state of Georgia. Two states with a very similar problem. I think that both of those states, I think North Carolina and Georgia, are at their core very conservative states. And through a process of kerfuffles, a lot of Republican infighting has led to Democrats sweeping in and taking charge. And so maybe the question is, as we go to break, and we have a lot of listeners in both of those states, how do we fix Georgia? How do we fix North Carolina? How do we get Republicans elected in those states? Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Also, if you want to weigh in on this survey, how do we fix these stupid kids? They don't know anything about American history. How do we fix that? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. We're going to be taking your calls. Also, be sure to head over to ToddStearns.com. We've got videos of that very dangerous situation unfolding in New York City. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. I want to go back to Zohran Mamdani, the communist mayor of New York City, and delivered one of the most really ridiculous speeches I've heard on the 4th of July, surrounded by people who are immigrants. And this guy himself, an immigrant, only been in the country for 8 years, but he's going to tell us how bad America is. Cut number six, please.
Nearly a decade ago, I too felt what you feel. The joy of no longer being just a New Yorker, but an American too. You each hold a special power, the power to determine what America means. The powerful have always known their answer. America, in their view, is an arena of supremacy, where only a select few are allowed freedom, where not all are created equal. America, if you ask them, becomes less the more people it welcomes. America, they will tell you, belongs only to those with the right accent or the right shade of skin. The rest of us, they insist, should be grateful for merely being allowed to visit. How small they are. How weak. How unoriginal. At every moment in our past, those who led through exclusion and isolation have tried to win power and enrich themselves by turning us against one another. Division is the oldest trick in politics and the cheapest. But time and again, including 250 years ago, those forces of division have been vanquished by the forces of progress. As Thomas Paine once wrote, "This new world hath been the asylum for the persecuted lovers of civil and religious liberty. Hither have they fled." And yet today, too many of our leaders do not believe in a vision of this nation as an asylum for the persecuted, but rather as one that persecutes those seeking asylum. As we mark 250 years, what do we see? We see a city of contradictions within a nation of contradictions. We see the wealthiest country in the history of the world, one where children go to sleep hungry while the world's first trillionaire hungers for more. We see monopolies that dominate every industry and oligarchs who buy elections. We see masked agents terrorizing our streets, eating food cooked by our undocumented neighbors before spiriting them away in unmarked vans. We see a nation whose immense wealth has been built by those with calloused, dirt-streaked hands, those who toil on factory floors and chisel into stone. And we see a nation that has allowed so much of that wealth to be held instead in the soft hands of a precious few. Yes, we see America in a health insurance industry that exploits the sick, but that is not all we see when we look for America. We see it too in the nurse who works a double shift and then stops on her way home to check on an ailing neighbor. Yes, we see America in corporate landlords for whom negligence is a business model. We see it too in the father who tucks his children into bed beneath a ceiling stained with leaks, who wakes before dawn to go to work and still believes his country can do better by his family. Yes, we see America when we spend our tax dollars on bombs and bailouts, when we sell our elections to the highest bidder. Yet we see it just as clearly in every American who still believes this country belongs to we, the people. We see America each time neighbors link arms with neighbors without asking how long they have lived here or what papers they have, as ICE invades our neighborhoods. We see America each time those young and old stand in the beating rain or the stifling heat to cast their ballots. We see America each time working people demand more, not just for themselves, but for their fellow Americans. There are some who respond to those who ask for more from America with a simple refrain, "Love it or leave it," they say. But patriotism has never been about pretending our nation is without flaws. Patriotism is every act of righteous dissent. It is every march led under the heavy sun. It is every protest held a decade before its time. It is precisely because we love this nation that we will not leave it.
Those are the words of a man who has been a naturalized citizen for all of 8 years, ladies and gentlemen. The leader, now the leader of the Democrat Party, the mayor of the largest city in America, who came from a family of extreme wealth, the very wealth and power that he was bemoaning. Pardon me, I had to clean up my language just a smidge there. But this guy, Zohran Mamdani, is just like Barack Hussein Obama, and these guys specialize in a very special form of oratory that involves spewing loads of grade-A fertilizer. You could grow a crop of butter beans with what was coming out of that guy's mouth. Now, let me just say this about Mamdani. Those words like oligarchy, those are all code words for communism. So all you folks that did not pack up and get out of New York City, good luck to you. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is a terrible story out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I am shocked by this story, to be perfectly blunt. A part-time conductor at Chattanooga's Incline Railway has been fired after a video of comments he made to passengers on the 4th of July spread across social media. So if you've been to Chattanooga, you know it's nestled in the shadow of Lookout Mountain, and you can take a rail car up the side of the incline. It's really breathtaking. The video was shared on TikTok, and it shows the conductor addressing passengers before the train left. And here's what the train conductor said. Happy Independence Day to the rest of you. Welcome to the greatest country on the face of the planet. And if you disagree, you can leave. To the very, very few Americans in here, happy Independence Day. I love it. I love this. Good for you, Mr. Train Conductor. Well, apparently he got fired. CARTA, C-A-R-T-A, is the, I guess, the organization that handles the Incline Railway. According to the transit agency, the Incline Railway's director met with the employee that day and immediately fired him. Quote, he will not work for CARTA or the Incline Railway again. Now, Jack Peterson is the conductor in the now viral video telling News Channel 9 in Chattanooga, quote, I'm very patriotic. It was the USA's Independence Day. I was celebrating with my fellow Americans, native or non-native. I truly do believe we are the greatest country on earth. My statement about if you don't like the country and don't believe we are the best, then you can leave is a freedom that many other countries do not have. It is not a racist or xenophobic thing to say. If you don't believe in making this country better, then why are you here? I love this guy. The Chattanooga Area Rapid Transit Authority, that's what CARTA stands for, they apologized. Some guy by the name of Scott Wilson is the chief wuss. He says, I want to apologize directly to the passengers who experienced this and to everyone who has seen the video and felt it sting. It should never have happened. Never. We're so sorry. We're sorry. What are you people, what are you apologizing for? What did the guy say that was wrong? Did you hear anything, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear anything that was remotely offensive? Mr. Wilson goes on, I'm telling you, this guy, geez-a-loo, we have zero tolerance for language that demeans or excludes anyone who rides with us. For 131 years, the Incline Railway has welcomed visitors from Chattanooga and from around the world, and every passenger who boards our railway deserves to feel respected and welcome, and we are committed to making sure that's always the case. We're so sorry. Unbelievable. The Incline Railway, according to News Channel 9, one of the Chattanooga's best-known tourist attractions. They carry visitors up and down Lookout Mountain since 1895. Well, there you go. I'm with the train conductor. If you don't love our country, get out. Just get out. Leave us alone. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to share a bit of news. Many of you know that Bellevue Baptist Church is one of the largest churches in the nation, and it's based right here in Memphis, Tennessee. Many of you who drive Interstate 40 going wherever you're going in America, you drive by the church and the giant steeples or the giant crosses there. And I want to share some information because there have been reports of a shooting at Bellevue Baptist Church. And what we can tell you is this. This is officially from the Memphis Police Department, that the preliminary information indicates that it was a self-inflicted gunshot. So there is no active shooter at Bellevue Baptist Church. Wanted to clear that information up. We've been getting a lot of calls about this. Again, there was no active shooter. This individual, whoever this person was, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. We have no idea where it happened, but we can tell you, hopefully, I mean, it's a terrible tragedy, but there was no active shooter situation there. No one is in danger there at Bellevue Baptist Church. Wanted to pass along that information. I know we have a lot of listeners that have people that go there. So, all right, I got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, it just seems rather silly, if you ask me. I mean, the poor guy, the train conductor, was just sharing his opinion, and I find nothing wrong with that opinion. Then this story from KGO, great station out of California, Hercules, California. Hercules, California. West Contra Costa Unified School District. They launched an investigation into a Hercules High School teacher following what they called racist social media post by the teacher. The controversy stems from an alleged classroom discussion during student walkouts in January and February protesting immigration and customs enforcement activity. According to the founder of a group called Together We Stand, an organization that advocates for victims of discrimination, the teacher made a statement that if she knew a student was illegal, she would want them deported. Good for you. Wow. In California. Wow. Okay. Oh, boy. Multiple students came forward with complaints about the teacher and expressed concerns about her presence on campus. So the teacher... the teacher's a danger because she's a law-abiding American citizen, but the illegal kids, they're okay. You following this one, folks? They argue the district must do more to enforce its anti-discrimination policies. They have a policy, they read it every time at board meetings, against discrimination, against hate. This is according to Mr. Fernandez, the founder and director of Together We Stand. Yet when we are faced with these issues, it doesn't seem that appropriate action is being taken. In a statement posted online, the district identified the teacher as Michelle Gerst and said she was placed on administrative leave while the initial allegation was investigated. The district, and this is the quote from the district statement to ABC 7 News, KGO, "The district takes any hateful language or discriminatory conduct very seriously. When the social media posts were brought to the district's attention in February, the Hercules High School administration immediately notified the district office. According to the district, action was taken in March following the end of the initial investigation, but they did not say what that action was. In a statement, Superintendent Cheryl Cotton said, "We are taking the allegations regarding Ms. Gerst's conduct with the utmost seriousness, and we hold our educators to a very high standard for creating a safe, inclusive learning environment." Well, let me just stop you right there. Wait just one cotton picket minute. You're telling me the superintendent of this school is named Cheryl Cotton? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that cotton once was the fabric of our lives, but now it is a symbol of racism, of oppression. So therefore, how is it possible that the school district there in Hercules, California, has a superintendent with the last name of Cotton? May as well have superintendent collard greens. I mean, how offensive. I'm not being serious. I'm being somewhat facetious. A petition calling for teacher Gerst dismissal is now circulating. Fernandez says that, Fernandez is a she. My apologies. Fernandez says while she supports free speech rights, she believes educators should be held to a higher standard because of their role in the classroom. Well, if that's the case, and let's just take what Ms. Fernandez said at face value here, if that's the case, that educators should be held to a higher standard, then they should have a higher level of free speech than everybody else, because the whole point is free speech is free speech. Fernandez goes on to say that classrooms are a place to have critical thought and dialogue, but when it crosses the line to statements that make people truly feel unsafe, that is just unacceptable. I'm trying to understand exactly what the teacher said that was inappropriate. The teacher said that she wanted illegal students to be deported. Anybody disagree with that? It seems to me that we would all agree with that. I'm just shocked it's a California school teacher. I'm genuinely shocked by that. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, I wanted to share this with you. If you missed this conversation, we had just a terrific gentleman, one of the top mortgage experts in America, and he's with a group called Movement Mortgage. And they're wanting to give you a free copy of his book on reverse mortgages. It's a fascinating book and a fascinating read. And I want to give this information out. I know some of you have already reached out and said, "Todd, can you repeat that intel?" Happy to do it. The website address, movement.com/Starnes. That's movement.com/Starnes. Or if you want to give them a call, 580-REVERSE. That's 580-REVERSE. Mention my name, Todd Starnes, and say you're calling for the free book and you want to get information on what Movement Mortgage does. These are very good people, and they're doing some incredible work helping out those of you that are getting very close to retirement age, trying to figure out what to do. Money's a little bit tight. They're going to help you out, and these are some really, really good guys. So if nothing else, again, no strings attached. You can call, get the book for free, and if you don't want to move forward, that's fine. They're okay with that. Movement.com/Starnes for more information on that. All right, coming up tomorrow, we're going to have more on the president's meeting with NATO. I will tell you, the president is reading them the Riot Act, and good for the president, because he's tired of NATO poor-mouthing the United States, and the president now considering pulling more troops out of Europe as a result of all of that. So we'll be covering that story tomorrow as well. Don't forget, ToddStearns.com. We have all sorts of great news and information. Go to our website, download our free app. You'll be able to listen to all 3 hours of the Todd Stearns radio show. Get our podcast. You can do that as well at ToddStearns.com. Be good, everybody.